This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking Juan Soto and Major League Baseball free agency. Can't wait to see where Soto finally signs. Will it be the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox? Who the hell knows? Maybe Toronto, maybe a sleeper team, BT. We'll find out. One quick thing before we move on to this golden at-bat rule, which I want to get to. Our pal Keith McPherson was listening and sent us a text trying to clear this thing up a little bit as far as the AAV goes. So for whatever reason, Major League Baseball calculated the AAV, you're right, at $46 million. I'm not sure based off of what. It makes no sense because he's getting $70 million a year. So, I mean, to me, I don't know how they calculated it, but whatever. And if you do the math on that based on large contracts, you know, Keith is saying it's only going to be 14 years, 658. I think it's going to be another year on top of that. I think he's getting the 700. So, however you get there, and to our caller's point before, you were saying, wow, 15 years. Forget about the years. To me, it is about the AAV as it pertains to Soto. It's not... like you could get to $700 million for 13 years. So what's the difference if you add on two more years? You see what I'm saying? Like, the years don't matter. It's the total contract value and how you split up the AAV.
Well, no. I would push back on that because think about this. If I don't think the Yankees would have had much of an issue if, say, Stanton's contract was $8 to $10 million more, but it expired a year ago.
Yeah, but in this particular case, it doesn't matter because the $700 million is $700 million.
No, I understand that.
I'm not sure what
the stand... but it creates wiggle room down the road where you can then kind of reset and not be handcuffed by an aging, decaying player who's making a ton of money. Like, you know what I mean?
No, because if it's $700 million regardless, right?
Yeah.
You're either paying more per year.
Yeah, no, I know.
Right, or less.
But you're getting out of it earlier.
Like, it's the same. Yeah, okay, but it's the same thing.
But it's not, though, because think about it. If Stanton's not on the team this year, the Yankees could do different stuff.
Right, but so...
the money's the money. You got to pay him anyway.
Right, but if you had it, let's just say at the end of the contract with Soto, it's going to be, you know, those 2 years, year 13, 14, or year 14, 15,
yeah.
Like, by then, it's going to be minimal compared to what it would be if you had it more up front, where you're 10, 11, and 12, you're paying more, let's say, because you don't have those 2 years.
I'd rather always pay more when the player's closer to his prime. Always.
Right, but it's the same difference. Like, I'm confused.
Well, but not every single year.
Why wouldn't you want it spread? Like, if you're spending $700 million,
yeah,
right? Let's just say, okay. So let's say $700 million over 10 years, just to do the easy math.
All right. So he's got $70 million a year. Okay.
Or $700 million over 13 years, which is $53 million a year. I'd rather have the $53 million a year, whatever, almost $54 million a year. I'd rather have that AAV throughout the course of, what I say, 13 years,
uh-huh,
than 10 years at 70 AAV.
I wouldn't.
We
disagree. No, I wouldn't. It's very simple for me. What I'm saying is I want that player to be gone sooner than later at the back end because you don't have to have those depreciating assets just languishing,
right,
with injuries and, you know, think about a thicker, older Soto can't play the field. No. I'd rather give him 10 years at $100 million a year than, you know, 15 years for sure. I know that's kind of a reach, just to prove a point.
But what if it were 20 years? Like, wouldn't you rather do a 20-year deal for $700 million? If it's the same total, like...
No, I know what you're saying, yeah, but I wouldn't. I know what you're saying. I just see it differently. I wouldn't want that.
Interesting. I mean, if you could sign one of these guys for 40 years, I mean...
Because we want to get to the golden at bat here. But think about Stanton. If Stanton's not on the roster right now, isn't the Yankees' world less complicated?
Only because the way that they are approaching things.
Like,
well,
Stanton,
but they're Stanton approaching things the way they're approaching things because of Stanton.
Well, because
so if he's gone, they had a totally they would have a totally different plan.
Yeah, but they also have a lot of money tied up. I think this Stanton one's a bad example, BT, and also it's going to get cheaper the next couple of years for Stanton, so maybe it's not going to look
all right,
bad.
Take DJ LeMahieu. Yeah. Don't you think it would have been better and behoove the Yankees if he made a little bit more money over the course of that went not when they still, first got him, that contract right. extension, and he was gone a year or two ago rather than languishing here for two more years?
But it's still the same amount of money.
I know it's the same. No, I get that. I know it's the same amount of money, but it just frees up what you can do in the now.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. So what do you think of this golden at-bat rule here that baseball is floating out there, and they're purposely floating it out there because of Manfred going to Jason Stark and the podcast or whatever, where you have any time, and there's different variations of it, but the main
there are.
One,
there's like five.
The main one would be at any point in any game, each team has the ability to send up any player for an at-bat.
Yeah, I listen, I'm getting wacky as I'm getting older. All these things like the Ghost Runner, okay, bring it on. You know, like eventually get some robots behind the plate. Bring it on. I would have screamed about this like a lunatic, even as recently as 5 years ago. I'm incredibly intrigued by this. Let me ask you, Sal, when you look at the sport of baseball, aside from pace, which is just, you know, even though they've done a pretty good job of trying to condense it, it is what it is, right? Baseball is pretty timeless, the essence of baseball. But what are the biggest issues, our biggest complaints about baseball? I'll give you one. Number one, it's way too analytically driven. Well, I got news for you. If you've got the golden at bat, it is managing. It's now it's gut. Now there's no analytics. It's like, all right, I got to make a decision. So I've got, let's just say, a healthy, dominant Gerrit Cole. The Blue Jays have Gerrit Cole on the ropes in the second or third inning, and he's thrown 63 pitches. He doesn't have great command. They've got two runs in. They got the bases juiced, and I don't know, whoever the hell their ninth hitter is, he's up with two outs. Do you want to bypass him in that spot and go to Vlad Guerrero and try to just knock Gerrit Cole out of the game? Do you save that for the seventh or eighth or ninth inning against a closer in a different situation? So there's a managerial gut aspect to me that's appealing, number one. Number two, now this isn't baseball's fault, but so we'll watch the Knicks and the Magic tonight. Knicks are down by one. What's Tom Thibodeau cooking up? He's cooking up a play for either Jalen Brunson or he's cooking up a play for Karl Anthony Towns on the pick and roll. The Jets and Giants can't get first downs, but they've got to get a crucial first down. The Giants are going to try to find neighbors. The Jets are going to probably try to find Garrett Wilson or Devontae Adams. So the other sports, their best players are always focal. Mahomes, the quarterbacks, the running backs. You want to give McCaffrey the ball, but he's healthy, give him the ball. So I think what this does is it presents some really interesting optics that I'm open to.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing for sure. I think it would add drama for sure.
Yeah.
Strategy, but
you're not too
I think it's too radical.
Goofy.
Yeah, I think it's too out there.
I mean, a lot of people are with you, by the way.
Whatever. I don't care about that. But let's just say hypothetically Soto rips a double in the gap. He drives in a couple of runs and the Yankees now trail by two and they want Soto up again. Like Judge gets a base hit, Soto goes to third, it's first and third and they want to use again Soto or again Judge. Like it's weird to me where you could have guys take multiple at-bats. You could technically have a guy back-to-back.
100%.
So Judge can hit a home run and say, you know what, I want him up again.
100%.
In the ninth inning, I'm going to go with him.
Or like, if you insert, let's say, Witt as the golden rule hitter and he bangs into a double play, but his normal time of the order is next inning, he's up next.
Yeah, I know, but it's weird to me. Also, when you think about it from their perspective, the player, like, baseball is different in that regard. It's so routine and rhythmic, and you have four at-bats a game. You know when you're coming up, your time. Like, if you just took an at-bat, you know, you're going to go right back in there again and have another one. Is that good for the game, watching the same player hit twice?
Again, dude, it's goofy. But I'll tell you what, from a hitting perspective, I don't know. If I just saw six or seven pitchers from an opposing pitcher, and then I get to dig in the box, you know, 27 seconds later, and I just saw his full arsenal, let's go. Oh. Advantage me.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain circumstances you could have that. I appreciate the creativity. I'm open to, and you're right, 5 years ago, me, 10 years ago, me, I'd hate this idea. I'd laugh it off the radio. Wouldn't even entertain it. I still don't think I would go with it. Maybe there are different ways to do it. Like, I mean, and I was being facetious when I said this yesterday on SNY, but like, Why not have a golden ball or a golden bat where, okay, well, I'm going to use this golden ball right now, and if I get this guy out, it's worth two outs or three outs, or a golden bat that if I hit, if I get a base hit, I get an extra base, or an extra, if it goes for a home run, I get two runs, whatever it may be. Like, when does it
where
stop?
Where do we stop?
Yeah, and in basketball, hey, you know what would add intrigue? A five-point play.
Well, like, they're going to have a four-point. Believe it or not, the NBA is going to have a four-point shot soon.
But the NBA, is they're out there already. The stupid NBA Cup and the courts and the jerseys and the way it is. Yeah, so they're going to have a four-point shot. So, like, yeah, all those things, it's intriguing, but, like, so are video games. But it's not real life, and it's not real baseball in the way that the sport was designed to be played. I'm not saying you can't evolve. I think that one, to me, is pushing it a little too far.
See, the problem with baseball, and they're a prisoner of their own history, like, you go back to the days of the ABA in the 70s, right, where, you know, they were this cavalier, renegade league, even though, and they had great players, Dr. J, Dan Issel, many others, right? And they can mess around and throw out a three-point line or do the dunk contest. You see, a lot of people think the first dunk contest was like in the 80s with the NBA, Larry Nance and those guys. It was actually, I believe it was in Denver in 1976. That's when Dr. J jumped from the free throw line, right? Even though he was a little bit inside of it. But you had this new league, and there was no expectations. You weren't married to history. With baseball, you are married to centuries worth of data. And the other thing that it would negatively impact here, and if you are a staunch supporter of the record book, well, let's face it, the 3,000-hit benchmark, the 500-home-run benchmark, if Aaron Judge or Soto or Alonso or Lindor or Witt or any other superstar, healthy Mike Trout, whatever, we know the names, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, if they get, and I'm just throwing it out there, 100 more at-bats a season, and they hit, you know, 6 home runs and 33 RBIs, and again, whatever, I'm not really doing that calculation. Is it fair to the other guys who played conventionally 154 and 162?
No, I think
answer is no.
You'd have to forget all those numbers.
Yeah, now that's the thing. Are we willing to sacrifice some of the elements of history? And quite frankly, I am.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I don't think it matters as much anymore. The history, it's sad to say, but I don't think it does. I don't know. Is that going to make a better product ultimately? And by the way, if they do that, you know who gets more valuable? Mm. Juan Soto.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Another at bat every game for Juan Soto?
That's a great point. Now you don't have to necessarily bat Aaron Judge or Juan Soto second. You could put them in a more conventional spot and then just bang them up what you want. And the other issue, too, is this.
Right, your lineup in the ninth inning, let's say, could be Soto, Judge, Soto.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. And then, again, that's why I gave you that Garrett Cole situation early in the game where you got him on the ropes, or Corbin Burns or Manaea, any pitcher that is pitching, whatever. And you're like, do I throw this bullet? Do I fire this now? And just look to get out of them and get into a bullpen game and just, you know, compromise them for the rest of the series if it's the start of a 3 or 4 game series. Like, there are so many managerial aspects. I don't think once you and I have ever gotten on the air in the year and a half that we've been together and started a show with, oh my God, can you believe Buck did this in the ninth inning? The consumption of, and certainly the interpretation on the radio has changed. So I think it would open up a little bit more of an old school criticism or critical thinking dynamic that I think would be really interesting.
How could Mendoza use the golden at bat there? What's he
thinking?
I like that. But I think there are other ways to add strategy into the game. I'm not sure I'm ready for that radical change just yet. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Raphael's in Yonkers. What's up, Raphael?
Raphael.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
What's happening, Raph?
I completely hate the golden rule, and I've been playing baseball since I was like 4 years old. I played in college. I hate the golden rule. I think it takes away from the game. And if we have a golden rule, we never have a Rajay Davis home run to left field against the Cubbies.
Hold on, a quick question for you. You said that it takes away from the game. Of course, there's been a litany of underrated or overlooked players that have carved out some epic moments. But how would it negatively impact the game outside of that? I think it would actually help the game flourish. You're watching the best players play more.
Thank you for the call. I guess you had better connection there.
Think about it.
I think you bring up a great point as far as the other sports. You always have the best players, even if it's not the last drive. And now the way the NFL is, you know, reacting to the overtimes, you want the best quarterbacks to have a chance. But if it's not the last drive, it's the second to last drive. You're seeing the best players on the field trying to score the football. Basketball, generally the best players are taking the final shots. In baseball, you just don't have that guaranteed locked in. And now you might, but to me, that's part of the appeal. The lesser guys getting big at bats and coming through in the clutch. I do think it adds an element of intrigue, no question about it. And having the stars shine bright. It's like, imagine the drama going into the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. You want to use, if the Mets want to use Edwin Diaz in the 8th inning, or the Yankees want to use Luke Weaver in the 8th inning, and all of a sudden, because you're facing a certain part of the lineup, now that gets altered. Like, you have to think about it because you know it could be altered at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
Who the opposing manager is going to go with.
And you're not just hitting a button and somebody spitting out data, or some geek from the front office saying, you know, 312 with 73 right. degrees outside and the roof open. I mean, no, you got to actually look at the game and see what's going on.
Let me ask you, though, why then stop at one golden at bat?
Well, I mean, because we don't want to turn into the circus.
Well, but eventually that's what's going to happen, just like the college football playoff. Well, we don't want it to turn into a circus. I learned yesterday, it's what, 12 teams now?
You learned yesterday?
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the college football. I was talking about something. One of my buddies went to Indiana, and SNY's like, oh, you're going to be betting against Indiana in the playoff? I'm like, they're not making the football playoffs.
They've had a hell of a season, Indiana.
Yeah, I know. I saw the moves to Ohio State.
Yeah, I got you. They got smoked that game.
Yeah, of course. That's an easy bet. Like, for me, come on. They're not beating all. They had a nice year. They're not going to beat Ohio State. Anyway, so it starts with 4. Now it's 12. Before you know, it'll be 16, whatever it may be. Same thing with the Golden At-Bat, which is a stupid name anyway, the Golden At-Bat.
Yeah, I don't like the name.
Yeah, Golden At-Bat. I mean, come on now.
And by the way, same thing with the NCAA tournament, Sal.
What do you do after the Golden At-Bat? Do you go take a golden shower? So anyway, it's a Golden At-Bat. And why stop at one? Why not multiple golden at-bats? Like, you could have 2 or 3 golden at-bats per game. That's, in the course of a 9-inning game, like, 3 at-bats is not a big amount.
But yeah, I don't think they're entertaining that. I certainly hope not.
One golden at-bat, that's it?
Yeah. You got to stop it at one, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, BT and Sal on the field. We'll come back. We'll have Jermaine Illuminor, and then we'll return and have your calls on the side of that. We'll talk some Giants with Illuminor when we return. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. Right now, we have Jermaine Illuminor on the line. This Giant call is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jermaine, how you feeling? I know you had to miss your first pro game on Thanksgiving, unfortunately. How's the health right now?
Yeah, getting better. You know, just a little banged up. I have a nice, pretty contusion in my quad, so I'm just trying to get that to where it needs to be so I can get out there and play. It's going good. Rehab's going well.
So you expected to play Sunday or no?
Yeah, I'm going to try my best to. That is for sure. I don't like missing games, especially how hard I work, so... My goal is to play on Sunday, and if I can't, it's just because Jack just can't run, you know. But my goal is to play on Sunday.
Okay, we're looking forward to seeing you back out there on Sunday. We didn't have a chance to talk to you last week because of the short week, and you guys had the game on Thanksgiving, obviously, that you missed. But the last time you took the field, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the post game, referred to your team as soft. Where are you at with the effort from the guys? How hard you guys are playing? What you saw from afar on Thursday?
So I didn't say soft. I just said I think the effort would be better. You know, I think I could have probably rephrased that more. You know, it wasn't so much effort. It was just more so I think that this is a very talented team, and I don't think that our record reflects that. So, you know, there's obviously something going wrong. And for me, it was just I was just emotional. I've never been 2-10 before. You know, this is a crappy season. Obviously, it's a failure of a season because you go into a season with high expectations, and to be 2-10, no one expects that. And I definitely didn't expect that from how OTA's mini camp and training camp was going. So, you know, I was a little upset after the game. I could have worded my responses better to the media. So, you know, it wasn't more so much effort. It was more so I want the team to give even more. You know, I know there's more that people can give, and you know, there's always that level and that limit inside of you that you don't know exists until you truly go out there and just put everything on the line and truly try to reach that level. And that's what I was trying to get at. You know, in order to win in this league, you have to be able to play outside of yourself and outside of your talent. And because everyone's talented in this league, but you have to find a way and a will to win. And that's what I was trying to get at, you know?
Yeah, no, hey, listen, you guys are gladiators, man. What you put in and to see the record, it's tough, man. And we all misspeak, especially when we're emotionally driven here, and now you've had a little time to decompress and appreciate the context there. So if it's not an effort thing, and it's certainly, you said you didn't use the word soft, what is it? Like, what has really defined this Giants season to become 2-10? Why?
Still trying to figure out that answer myself, if I'm being completely honest with you. I'm typically someone who has answers, but, you know, for that question, I've been thinking about that this entire season. Every time we lose a game, like, why are we losing a game? I go back and watch the tape, and, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're doing differently to, like, say the Detroit Lions or the Buffalo Bills or, you know, the Denver Broncos. Hmm. Or the Chargers, like teams like that, you know. I don't know how to answer that question. I'm sorry, you know. I've been thinking about it, but you know, like I said, I've never been 2-10 before, and every single year of my career, I've been fighting for a playoff spot. Even last year, you know, we were 8-9, but you know, we were fighting for the playoffs, and we would have won two of those last nine. Like, we went 5-4 with AP. We won two of those four games. We lost. We're 11-6. I mean, 10-7, sorry, and we're in the playoffs, you know. So, this is my first year that I've been eliminated from the playoffs with this amount of games to go. So I'm still trying to figure that out myself, honestly. Mm-hmm.
So with Dota Jermaine Illuminor, BT and Sal here on The Fan. And, you know, listen, some of those other situations that you referenced, whether it's Detroit, whether it's the Broncos, maybe this is a low-hanging fruit, but my easy answer would be, well, the quarterback play has been very good in those situations, unexpectedly in Denver, not surprisingly in Detroit. I mean, do you start there? I mean, think about what's gone on with Jones and now DeVito Hurd and then obviously Locke. I mean, it's hard to win without getting in the end zone, Jermaine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the difference between those teams and us, you know, we just had a lot of turnover at the quarterback position. You know, some of those things you can't really control. You know, this has been a thing in my career where I've had to go through that for the last 3 years. So, you know, I think it's more than that, though. Obviously, you know, quarterback is the most important position on the field. So it starts with the quarterback and then the offensive line and the defensive line and the receivers and the running backs. And, you know, the list goes on. So there's a number of things that can factor into why you're not having as much success as you want. You know, and I'm sure after the season, I'll just look at it again and go through the tape and try to look at every game and see what I could have done better or how I could have helped to get this team where I believe that they should be, you know. So that's really what I can do. Just look at the tape and see what I can do better for next season and, you know, these last four games.
And how do you get that message across, Jermaine, to other teammates in the locker room? It was my mistake before. You're right. You said, obviously, effort. There were other guys, multiple guys, who said soft. So it was just a bunch of different comments that were coming out after that loss prior to the Thanksgiving game. And it seems like a lot of frustrated guys, whether it's veterans, whether it's rookies, doesn't matter. How do you get that message across that you just said to us as far as being accountable and trying to finish strong here to the other team where it seems like, I don't want to call it a fractured locker room. I wouldn't go that far, but a team that certainly is down being 2-10 on the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the locker room's any different. And I'm in that every single day. You know, guys we're still tight. You know, still all my guys. And you know, we all still get along really well. You know, but we work too hard to not be winning games, and especially lose 7 straight. No one expects that. No one wants that. So a lot of the times you're going to see guys just get emotional about that and expect more. You know, I expect a lot out of the team. I know, you know, Leak, Dex, AT, Sway, a lot of the veteran guys, a lot of the leader guys, a lot of the guys who are in the public eye more expect a lot too. So I think that's where the comments come from. But yeah, I mean, you don't go into OTAs and minicamp saying, oh, we're probably going to lose a couple games this year. Nah, you go in and say, you know, 17-0 and win the freaking Super Bowl. So, you know, when the realization hits you that you're not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish this year, it sucks, you know. Like I said, this is the worst record I've ever had in my career, and it's not a fun thing to admit or see or say and be going through. But at the same time, too, it's up to me to figure out how I can finish out this season strong and really put my best effort out there for not only this franchise to see, but the rest of the league to see, and for me to keep showing who I believe I am.
You know, Jermaine, a bad record or a losing record is not always, doesn't always mean that the culture is bad. All right. Sometimes, a lot of times it does, but it doesn't always mean that. From the outside looking in, we know what the record is. Can you tell us about the culture? What is the culture of this franchise right now?
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hard to create a culture when you're losing, but I guess, you know, just to fight in every game and to just try our best ever to win, you know. It's hard to try and create culture when you're losing and you're 2-10, but every guy out there is going to go out there and just give everything they have and, you know, try to win the game. So I guess that's what you could somewhat call the culture. You know, it's a tough question to ask when you're losing so much, you know, and that's,
yep,
that's not meant to offend anyone. It's just that's the honest truth.
Yep.
You want to win as much as you can, and in order to create culture, like, you know, I keep going back to Detroit because I remember for a couple of years they were down in the dumps and then kind of the best in the NFL. You know, they created a culture where they would, like how Dan Campbell said a couple of years ago, people loved him, like they're going to bite kneecaps. You know, people loved that comment a couple of years ago, but now they're like, well, damn, look at them now. They're the best team in the NFL. So that's their culture. You know, that I guess they're just biting freaking kneecaps, but they're going out there every single day in every game with an intent. You know, I think that this offseason, the leaders of the team really need to get together, and we need to just figure out how we can prevent this from happening in the future. You know, I'm going to be here. I don't want this to happen again. I certainly don't want to feel this way again, and I'm going to make sure I do everything in my power to make sure that this does not happen again and make sure that going into next season, we really put ourselves in a position to get the most out of that season, hopefully get to playoffs, because that's the ultimate goal, to get to the playoffs. Then when you get there, anything can happen. So that'll be the goal next season, to make sure we put this team, this franchise, in a position to win.
Thank you, Jermaine. We appreciate your time as always. Good luck on Sunday. Hopefully you're healthy and out there and you guys can finally get a win at home.
Yeah, no, that is the goal. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. I know it's
Stand up guy.
We appreciate it. Yeah, it's a time.
Dude, it's not fun. I mean, he's coming on and he's telling us what's going on. And he really is a stand up dude. He's been with us basically all year. He's hurt, but he's just plowing through. And, you know, I mean, I can't relate to this because I'm not a pro football player, but when you're 2-10, you don't even want to go to the supermarket, dude.
I know.
Think about all the Giant fans in the area. It's not fun. It's not fun for us to even watch them. Imagine what it's like for him to go through and these players to go through this. Now, I would say, with respect to Jermaine, and I understand how he positions it, I don't think the Giants have a good culture. Let me be clear about that. Yeah. I don't think their culture is where it needs to be. I don't.
Because
you got five guys saying five different things.
And it's hard to have a culture when you are 2-10, to his point.
Yeah, but you could have at least the early rootings of a culture. And see, it's hard to say that there's culture when...
I mean, BT, we talked about it. He said effort, other guys saying soft.
That's where I was going. Neighbors popping off a little bit, being a little bit of a me guy. Yep, yeah, Dexter Lawrence as well. And we love Dex, but
he wasn't being
Dex said...
Yeah, Dex wasn't being a me guy.
Not Dex, a me guy. Just being very... Right. Honest about the lack of whether it's effort or whatever it might be, you know, I think he's their best player. He's been very transparent. I think that Jermaine Illuminor has, and I respect this man. He's tried to walk that line of representing the guys in the locker room and taking, you know, we're not trying to disrespect him. We're not at all. We don't want to do that. But when you're 2-10, you know, it is what it is. And I think there's big changes coming with this team. I didn't even ask him. I didn't even ask him about the coach or the GM. That's not fair
to
him.
His pay grade anyway.
It is. I don't want to put him in that spot. You know where I stand. If I'm running the Giants, I'm cleaning house.
Yeah, we'll have that conversation maybe as the week goes on here or as the days go on, weeks go on, BT, as we start to get near the end of the season here. But, I mean, they got to win a game at home. I don't know how you can make a case to keep either of them. But the Giants, though, they better handle this the right way. If they are going to make a change, change both. Do not keep one or the other.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
A little bold face lie, bold face truth. Hoff, what do you have for us today?
All right. Sal, I'm going to give this one to you
first.
Yeah. Bold face truth, bold face lie.
Yes.
Giants and Jets will both draft in the top four in 2025.
You have the tankathon up right now?
I did. Okay. Yes, I do. I have it.
And where are we at right now?
We have the Giants at 3 and the Jets at 6.
Who's ahead of the Giants?
Jacksonville and the Raiders.
Jacksonville have an easy schedule. They have the Titans. I'm sorry, you're up.
No, but no.
That's something to consider.
Feel free. If you're a show, you can jump in.
I'm thinking it's like we're just doing a regular segment.
So you're saying two picks in the top four?
Yeah.
No, I don't think both. I think the Jets will end up winning some games here and screwing it up.
Oof. All right, so.
Bold face lie.
I'm hoping it's a bold-faced truth, and I'm leaning in that direction, that it's going to be a bold-faced truth.
Mm.
You know, I mean, who are the Jets going to beat? I know the Dolphins are a little bit of turmoil here, but are they going to beat the Dolphins?
They're not beating Miami.
I don't think so. That Rams game, you know, the Rams are so much better coached, and you can see them losing that game.
Yeah,
it's probably a similar game to Seattle, similar, you know, path. I think the Jets maybe win one, maybe the Jaguars game down there, maybe. Man, I mean, I don't know who the hell the Giants can beat. So
didn't that happen last time with the tank for Trevor year? Where
it was the Rams. They beat the Rams out there in L.A.
Oh, the Jaguars. Okay,
yeah,
right.
Frank Gore got the first down. I was very excited. I wanted to punch my TV.
Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe the Jets only win one more.
I think there's a chance. I'm going to say truth here. Jets and Giants now finish what? Top four?
Top four.
I'm going top four.
And we actually did this
Jets
one before.
Jets are where right now?
Six,
yeah. We did this before, and I'm proud of Sal and BT, both of you. Sal, you kept your same opinion. BT, you changed your mind. I'm happy. You're on my page. You understand. This is going to happen. They're both going to draft in the top four.
They both stink. They're terrible.
For the record, I'd like to see it. I mean, it's been
terrible.
We might as well have a payoff and have them both picking one and two in the draft.
Can you imagine Giants 1, Jets 2?
Yeah, not that that's going to do anything differently.
Or Giants 2, Jets 4, happened in 2017.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about the quarterbacks not being a great class. Which running backs can the Giants take at number two if they have that top pick again? All right, what do you got?
Saquon available?
Yeah, right.
Okay. BT.
Yeah.
Bold face lie, bold face truth. The Mets will retire David Wright's number this year.
It seems like it's going to be a bold face truth, and I've seen the reports. I don't know if there's quite been a true confirmation. A lot of whispers out there. Seems like there's enough smoke where you're going to see this happen, and I'm all for it. I think David Wright is the best Met that I've ever seen, honestly. And we all know the names. It's not an incredibly long list. But before David Wright's back went out, between hitting for average, outside of his first year at Citi Field, I know, hitting for average, hitting for power, picking it at third, having a couple of years where he stole 20-something bags, just a class act. I love David Wright. Bald-faced truth.
Yeah, I don't believe any of these reports. I'm also going bald-faced truth. It just makes sense. The anniversary of the 2015 team as well, where Wright played in the World Series for the first time. So I think it's going to happen. I love Wright. Great dude. We had him on. We had a lot of fun with him. He's an all-time great Met. He's not the best Met I've ever seen. But, I mean, when you look at it as far as homegrown, what he meant, the way he carried himself for the franchise, all those different things. In that aspect, yeah, then maybe he is the greatest Met that I've ever seen. But as far as talent goes, I'm not putting him.
Who's better?
I'd still Beltran. I'd still go Piazza at their peak. I think Lindor can make a case for that eventually if he continues to do what he's done here. He's up there, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But even the problem is, BT, on those teams, like, he got overshadowed a little bit by Delgado, by Beltran. They were loaded. And Wright, even Reyes was up there. I'd put him probably top three or four.
I just got to look real fast out before we get the last one here. 07, he had a war of almost 9.
Yeah.
All right, he steals 34 bases, his OPS is .963, he hits .325, wins a gold glove.
Yeah.
I think he's better than all those guys.
It was a good year. All right, go ahead.
And by the way, just to put some on it too, just to make David Wright over. In 2015, when he came back from 4 months off, had that electric home run in 2015.
One of my favorite moments ever.
Of all time.
Yeah.
And he still has the best catch ever in New York. That bare hand.
Was that in San Francisco down the line? That little, that crazy.
Over the shoulder bare hand. Yeah. It was awesome.
Much
better than Jeter.
Not even close. Not even close.
Not even better than Winfield scaling the wall. Look at some of the old video. I mean, come on. Just because you guys didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Bald face truth, bald face lie. Sal. Jameis Winston will be a starting QB in New York next season.
That's a bold-faced lie. I mean, I know why you're asking that. And by the way, I would love it. He is fun to watch.
He is.
He may not be great as far as throwing some interceptions, and he threw the two pick sixes last night. He is entertaining as hell. They could score a lot of points with him at quarterback. He's having fun out there. He's saying some fun, crazy things. You know what? We could do a lot worse. We have done a lot worse. I'd love to see Jameis here with either the Giants or Jets. I'm going to say it's a bold face lie, though. I don't think that he's going to fit with what they're looking for.
I think you're probably right. I'm going to say I'm with you. Bold face lie. They're going to. Both teams should be in the market for that bridge guy, and both teams should draft a quarterback if they love him enough to validate that kind of an early pick here. I don't want to see a reach, but I think both teams will be in the quarterback market in the first round. You know, it could be Darnold, could be some other guys that we've talked about that we've already seen here. But Jameis, I like Jameis. I really do. Still a little too reckless, a little too sloppy, but he's fun as hell to watch. But I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, now I have one here because that's it for us. Right, Hoff? With the ball? Okay, I have one here. This is for BT and Dove. I'm going to start with BT. Bald face truth, bald face lie. Hoff's hair looks good with that part in it without the hat. That's a bold-faced truth or a bold-faced lie?
Okay. I like it. I do. I noticed it. It's a bold-faced truth there. It's very debonair. I mean, he finally looks classy for once instead of always wearing the hoodies and the jerseys and the... I think that it's a very good look for you. It covers up that bald spot, which, by the way, is growing by the month here.
Yeah. Thank you.
As your son pointed out last night, little aunt, love him. And I just think it's kind of like... I don't know. You fit in well on the Titanic. Now, the Titanic may have sunk quicker if you were on it.
Yeah. You said it's a truth that looks good. You're comparing it to
I'm just messing around. But, like, that's how they wore their hair. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that. Well, I think it looks good. Yeah. I like it.
All right, Dove, what about you? Bold face truth, bold face lie. You like Hoff's new hair?
Lie.
Yeah, bold face lie, right? Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Not a fan.
You like it messy or you like it with a hat on more?
It should be shorter, actually.
Now, you gotta. Shorter. Here's the thing. Like the sides to me, this always drove me nuts, and you could relate to BT because we both have the same haircut.
Go ahead.
When the sides would grow more than the top.
Oh, forget about it. Unacceptable.
I hated it. Like it used to drive me nuts. So I'm always, even if I tried to save whatever was on top of it, the sides and back would always be shaved or faded at least. Hoff has the back and sides growing. And he's got that little, as you said, Titanic top going on.
I have everything growing, yes.
You got it. I think maybe a little Hoff makeover is in order here.
Oh.
I'm not saying like you're far off. I'm just saying the haircut. If you're not going to wear the hats, I like Hoff with a hat.
You've been killing me recently. The weight, the hair.
I didn't kill you the weight. I just asked you how much you weighed. I didn't kill you. Have you lost? Where are we at? Do we have an update on that?
It's going down a little bit.
Is it really?
Have we under three yet?
No,
I'm looking out
for
you.
5 days ago you asked him, but it was just after Thanksgiving.
You sound like my wife. You lose weight yet? Babe, we just talked about this 5 minutes ago. Right, you got to give me some time.
Building bucks.
Wait, there's no way you lost weight during Thanksgiving. Yeah, it had to go up. It didn't go down.
No, it went down.
Well, he was with the Giants. Wasn't even home.
That's how big I was.
That is true. The bigger you are, the easier it is to lose weight initially.
But here's what you got to do. It sounds kind of odd to something here. I like the part. You've got to get more of a blend, a little fade on the sides.
Yeah,
there.
I could do some work on the hair. I guess.
Got to do that.
Yeah, like a haircut. We haven't had it. Like, we do it all the time ourselves.
Well, I remember getting buzzers about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. I would just zap it. Yeah. I'd do one clip all around. Yeah. And I was like a fanatic. I'd do it once every 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. Like, once the sides... And I never let it get to this point, but it's
horrible on the side.
You guys are like a cult. And BT tried to get me to do this too when he shaved my head about a year ago.
I did.
He thought I was going to be all in on being bald the rest of my life. Not happening.
And you look good.
I looked great. I got a lot of compliments.
You looked like a badass, actually.
Hey, when the Knicks make the playoffs as a show, we all have to shave our heads like they used to do.
Dove too?
Yeah, of course.
Dove first.
Dove
first. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, reset it with the crowd topic of the day, and get to your calls at 888-808-1019.